The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Well, this is going to end, today is going to end the series of most misunderstood, misinterpreted scriptures in the Bible. And we're going to go to a passage that's probably the most known, John 3:16. And all across the country today, there's sermons being preached on the verse of scripture, John 3:16, about the great love of God for us and how much he has extended that love to us. And I heard, I believe it was a pastor say earlier in the week that there was a pastor that studied this passage and developed sermon outlines on it his entire life and came up with about 600 unique outlines. 600 unique outlines on this text of scripture. This scripture is very simple, very clear. And when people hear this word, they hear in their head who God is and how much he loves them and how much he loves the world. But here's the problem with the disconnect with this verse, message from the Lord, is it sometimes does not make it from the head to the heart. It stops in just the understanding of what that text is. Jimmy and I were talking a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember what day it was. And he said something that has resonated with me since then. He said that God's word should not be that hard to understand. It's not that hard to understand that he loves us greatly. And he is speaking to us. He's extended his love to us. And he is offering a relationship with us. When studying for this, I heard a story about Tim Tebow, and I'm not a big Tim Tebow fan in football, just so you know, because he was from the other team, the other part of the state when I was in Florida. But as a Christian, I'm a great fan of this man. He is a person who is an example of what it means to live for Christ and to share Christ and to make the gospel the center of his life. And John 3:16 is the verse he chooses to proclaim as his life verse. The football game that cemented his legend in the public domain happened on January 8th in 2012, and it's called the 3:16 game. I don't know if you've heard of the 3:16 game or watched that 3:16 game, but it was the game that, of course, he wore his eye black with John 3:16 under his eyes. And in that game, he led Denver to beat Pittsburgh in overtime. But after the game was over, a reporter came up to him and said to him, "Do you know that this game is passed for 316 yards?" That's a cool thing that he passed for 316 yards. And he averaged 31.6 yards per pass. There was one interception thrown by Pittsburgh in that game, and it was, I think it was in the second quarter, and Roethlisberger threw that interception on a 3rd and 16. This game was about 300 days, I believe, is what the number they gave me, that it was past the national championship where Tim Tebow had wore under his eyes John 3:16. And the day of that game and the day after that game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16. The gospel was spread profoundly through that action. There are a lot more. I think people are stretching to make these statistics because 316 times 6 is the game from high school where he broke his leg and declared that, you know, it was a pivotal game for him that made him decide who he's going to be as a player and play for the Lord. And it was that many days, 316 times 6, till the 3:16 game in against Pittsburgh. It's just on and on. There's all kinds of coincidences. It's not a coincidence. God has used that. He's used that event to share the truth of how much he loves people from John 3:16. This man has dedicated his life to that, and God used that. I've talked about this before, that we have a principle that you teach people in discipleship in the early stages. You start teaching them to look for a passage of scripture that they would claim as their life verse. the verse that they are saying, this is what I believe in. This is what I'm going to base my life on. This is going to drive me. Mine is Romans 1:16. God loves us so much that we can't fully comprehend it. We can't fully understand it. But I'm going to spend just a few minutes talking about this verse, and hopefully he will just brighten a part of our heart so that we can understand how much he loves us more. Start off with the first two words, for God. For God. We don't fully understand who God is. We know that he exists. There's some that might declare we're not sure he exists or he doesn't exist. But we in this room, if you're in this room, you're acknowledging that there is a God and that God loves the world. Let me give you some of the characteristics of God. He is the creator and sustainer of everything in this world. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. He is not only the creator, but the sustainer of all life. Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. We know that God is, and the God of the Bible is the triune God, the Trinity God. You have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's taught in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We know that this God that loves us is holy and righteous. Psalms 145:17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. He's loving and compassionate. You can read the whole book of 1 John and find that out. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you see that how much he loves us and how important love is. 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God's love. His love's demonstrated through his compassion and mercy toward us. Psalms 103:8 describes God as compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love. I'm cramming a lot in here today, guy. There's a lot. You cannot exhaust the topic of who God is and how much he cares for us. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. That means he is everywhere. He's all-powerful. He is the maker of all things. He is all-knowing, knows everything about us. You in the pew today, he knows the deepest hurts. He knows the desires, he knows the pains, he knows the joys, he knows the hopes, he knows every thought that goes through your head. It's pretty scary, isn't it? You know, I told you a few weeks ago about how I learned that it's a signaling of wealth if you leave your blinds or curtains open in the front of your house to the street all the time. I didn't know that was true. They said rich people do that. So I started opening up my blinds. Well, you know what? When you open up your blinds, you got to be careful how you live. I got to be a lot nicer to my dog when he does things he shouldn't do. I got to make sure the TV's on the right kind of things. It's all seen. It's all seen. I'm volunteering it out there to the world. The Lord doesn't need you to open the blinds on your heart. He sees the deepest part. He sees you, and he knows you. And he knows that you have doubts. He knows that you have fears. He knows that you have pains. He knows you have anger. He knows everything. And that's the God that loves you. He not only knows it, but he's personal and intimate with you. James 4:8 says this, come near to God and he will come near to you. You can know that when you call on him, he is there, always there. He's your redeemer. And John 3:16 brings it to life. For God loved you so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is the God that loves us. For God, and then this next word, I glossed right over the next word a few times when I preached this the first few times. God so, he so loves you. He so loves you. That's the extravagance and the effort and the exorbitance of the love he has shown toward us. It is beyond our comprehension how much he can love us. I went to a funeral this Thursday, and it was a very sad funeral. a young person, probably 400 to 600 people there. Lots of folks at a young person's funeral. This person was a disciple that followed the Lord and lived for the Lord and taught Sunday school, sang in the praise band, witnessed to people all the time, served and shared. And what we got to see in the life of this person is someone that went to the extra mile all the time. All the time. The stamp she left on the world was extra mile for Jesus. Always did extra for people. Always went over and above. And that is the example that helps me understand in human form what so means in this. He so loved you that he went way beyond our understanding to send his son for us. God so loved the world. So we, I have a preacher friend that, boy, people have been throwing around outlines for John 3:16 for about 6 weeks now, talking about it with each other. And this is my boss's favorite. He likes to preach about the size of God's love and the eyes of God's love, how he sees us, and the prize of God's love. And that's how he lays out this section of Scripture. And I love when he talks about the size of God's love. He loved the world. The whole world. Not just people that are easy to love, but people that are hard to love. I don't know where you found the hardest people to love in your life. I've found them in the emergency room at a hospital. Because they're all impatient, and they're all scared, and they're all worried, and they're sick. And they're coughing on you, and they're worried about whether they're having a heart attack or not. I've sat in last spring about this time, 2 weeks in a row on a Friday night, I sat at least 6 hours, might have been closer to 10 hours in an emergency room, and I let the Lord speak to me about the room when we were there. And in that room, there were people that were from all walks of life, and they were in pain or worried, and they needed Jesus. I don't know that I have seen in many years with my heart and eyes so many people that need Jesus. He loved the whole world. He loved everybody. He loves the mean people. He loves the nice people. He loves you. It's expansive. It's big, but it's also very personal. He so loved the world. And you could take that world and pare it all the way down to the person sitting in the chair you're sitting in, you. He loved you so much. If you were the only person on earth, Jesus would have died for you. That's how much God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave. It's a free offering. How he loves us, his extent of redemption to us, is not something we can purchase. Well, purchasing's gotten really easy nowadays. I don't know if you've noticed. Do y'all pay for things with your phone? Where you just kind of scan your phone up there and pay for things? It scares me every time. I do not buy gas unless it's at Walmart, and I buy it with my phone. That's not a function of convenience. That's the function of being a cheapskate, because you get 10 cents a gallon discount if you do that. So I drive up there. I scan my phone. It's so easy to pay. I get a receipt from a text, and it goes into my account, and I can count it up later on and do what I, you know, can do better accounting with it. It's an easy pay. God so loved the world that he gave his only son freely. Freely. It wasn't easy, but it was free. He gave his son for our sins. I don't know if you know anybody that in this world that needs Jesus, and I hope somebody came to mind while we were talking about the world and all those that are hurting. If there's someone in your life that needs Jesus, they need to hear this verse. They need to, whatever effort you may need to do to make it happen, whatever venue God has given you, you need to tell them about Jesus. I remember the first time I heard this passage, I was probably about 6 to 10 years old in that range, and I was watching the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday afternoon. And by the way, we didn't know there were more than like 10 teams. It's whoever they played and the Cowboys. We didn't know there was a Saints. that know it existed, that went in our area. So just out of Dallas-Fort Worth, they played that one team. You might get a night game every now and then, or a Monday night. But in the stands, there always was, every game, somebody with a piece of cardboard that had John 3:16 on it. Do y'all remember seeing that? It's the first time I heard that verse. It was so simple. It did not leave me from that age. First person that shared the gospel with me talked about John 3:16. Second person that shared the gospel with me talked about John 3:16. How much God loved me, how much I needed him, how exorbitant his love was for me, and that I could receive that freely. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I spent some time this week also with people that don't believe. People that would argue with you about Christianity. Argue with you about who God is or whether religion is nothing but a farce or a gimmick. And they would say things that would try to disrupt my belief about who God is. But I want to tell you, they could not say enough things, could not convince me strong enough to steer me away from an understanding that Jesus is the Son of God and he loves me and he's the only way to know him. Hope that's true for you. Hope you're not easily swayed, not easily convinced. Probably one of the scariest things going on today, and I talked about it 10 weeks ago, I believe, was about artificial intelligence. How easy it is to create something that even I, who know nothing about it, could get on a program and create a picture that talks, that looks like that person saying something that they don't really believe. Can you see how people are going to begin to get overwhelmingly confused on what truth is? Truth looks so subjective now. Looks so subjective that we can't trust whether what that person says is right or wrong. I want to tell you, they will trust Jesus because Jesus is more than a fact on a page. He's more than a picture in a book. He is the Savior whose name is written on the hearts of those who believe. Jesus is the Son of God, and he loves you, and you have to believe. You not only have to believe in your head, you have to believe in your heart. And I know this is just a physical illustration. This is not literal. We've preached it too literally for too long. This difference between the heart and the head. It's all of us. It's the whole person, the spirit. You can't just think he is real and not commit to him. You can't just think that there's a Son of God named Jesus and acknowledge that, even wear a t-shirt, have a poster in your house. You can't just acknowledge this historical figure and be saved. You have to believe and trust him. Believe and trust him and follow him. Whoever believes in him will not die. But you know what that implies? It implies that everyone who does not believe in Jesus will die and spend eternity in hell. I just want to be quiet for a minute and think about that. Everybody who doesn't believe will spend eternity in hell. So just coming to church is not enough. Just saying his name is not enough. Praying is not enough. Trusting him and believing him is what you do. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. And here's that last two words that is the prize of God's love. Eternal life. Eternal life. You trust him and your life for eternity begins in that moment. Eternal life does not begin the moment you pass from your physical body and die. It begins the minute you receive Jesus. Your eternal life begins that day. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So in this funeral I attended, there were these 400 to 600 people. Everyone there who knew Jesus had a sad celebration. There was a sadness for the loss of a friend, but there was a celebration for the culmination of a life lived eternally on earth and then transitioning to eternal in heaven. You couldn't help but walk out of there with a little bit of a lift in your heart because you walked out knowing that Jesus loved that person and they loved him back. Had eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So after hearing John 3:16 from my friends at work that shared the gospel with me, by the way, that's where I heard the gospel, was at work. Saw it on TV, heard it at work, worked in a restaurant, and while we were cooking catfish, one of the cooks was telling me about Jesus. Worked at a grocery store with a butcher, and while we were cutting up steaks, he was telling me about Jesus. Went on to college, went to a BCM lunch, and somebody got up, about 5 years older than me in seminary, told a story about who Jesus was, told me about Jesus. In the dorm room by myself with roommates drinking in another room, all five of them were in there doing lots of things. But they were drunk for sure. They weren't drunk. They were dipping, and sometimes both. While that was going on, I was thinking about that poster held up at a football game, about those testimonies of those two co-workers, about hearing the gospel at that lunch, and I gave my life to Jesus and trusted him. And that was the beginning of eternal life. There may be people in this room right now that are just know about Jesus but don't know him and need to know him. I know there are people listening on Facebook that don't. I know there's some that are going to hear the radio that don't. Don't let today pass without trusting Jesus. Now, we have a tradition in the Baptist church that not every church does. We have an invitation. Some churches, you have a sermon, a song, a benediction, you're gone. That's how it goes. But we do a time of invitation. And I have a personal, it's a hang-up. I don't think it's a belief. My personal hang-up is I like to do one verse. Because I think if the Holy Spirit is moving, you need to move. You need to get up and come down and talk and pray. But that, I think that sells short what the Holy Spirit does sometimes. Sometimes it needs to be longer. But today when we had this invitation, when we stand up and sing, the invitation is for anyone here that does not know Jesus to come forward and talk about it and pray and receive Jesus as Savior. That's what the invitation is. It's also, if you want to join this fellowship, join this church, become a part of this body so that you can grow to know God, you can grow in your understanding, and you can also have fellowship with others who love him. That's what the invitation's about. It might also be a time of repentance. Now, that didn't happen a lot in our conservative church. Not this one, but all of us. You don't see a lot of Baptists running down front, kneeling and praying and crying. We're a lot more stoic than that. But that's what this invitation's for. If you need to turn from something that it's got a hold of you, some sin that's got your life, it's a time of repentance. So whatever reason you come forward, don't worry about somebody out in the crowd looking at you saying, I bet I know what they're repenting for. Don't worry about that. It's not about them. It's about you and God. It's about you getting right between you and him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you gave your only son, that if we believe in him, we trust you, we follow him, we have eternal life. I thank you for loving people that are hard to love. I'm one of them. We all are. I thank you for loving people unconditionally. Thank you for all the testimonies that are in this room. And thank you for those that are coming, the testimonies that are coming of people that are going to give their life to you and trust you and follow you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.